open your Bibles, please, to the 10th chapter, the book of Ecclesiastes. If you're visiting with us, we've been in the book of Ecclesiastes for quite some time, and we're continuing our study through it, and we've come to the 10th chapter. One of the things that will help you understand the book of Ecclesiastes is Solomon is writing about the world that we live in from a perspective of one that is living apart from God. I mean, if you were to just look at the world from a purely human viewpoint, he said this is how you would see it. And he also says, in light of that, that when you look at the world from that level and live the world at that level, there's no satisfaction in life. In other words, the material things of this world cannot bring contentment and satisfaction into a person's life. It takes far more than just a physical realm to do that. Why is that? It's because man is born in the image and likeness of God. And in the image and likeness of God, man in his creation is created to relate to his creator. And so life does not consist in strictly things physical, but life consists in our relationship with the creator. And that relationship is found through the person of Jesus Christ. As we relate to God through grace, God reveals to us his true character and his true nature. Okay? And we don't find satisfaction in strictly a horizontal level. And that's what Solomon's writing about here. The last couple of weeks we've been looking at him. He's been contrasting wisdom with foolishness. Okay? And we said that wisdom is the ability to take the Word of God and to apply it to one's life, to live out the things of God in accordance to the Scripture. Okay? A fool is a person that lives his life independent of God. Okay? When we live as a fool, all we have to do is live our life independent of God. Now, there are people that are fools by nature, and that is where the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, Psalm 14. What that simply means is that a person that denies the existence of God lives his life apart from God, therefore he's characterized as a fool. But we can also be a fool when we don't walk with the Lord in a day-to-day relationship. You understand? Don't understand fool in the concept of like a stand-up comedian or a court jester or something like that. A fool is a person who lives independent of God. So the Bible contrasts the two, the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man walks in obedience to God. The foolish man walks in disobedience towards God. And so we're going to take a look this morning at the subject of the fool. The title of the message this morning is A Picture of a Fool. We're going to look at four characteristics of a fool here in the 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes. And before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer, okay? Father, we come before your throne of grace in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. And we pray, Lord, for this time of a study and instruction. Pray, Lord, that you'd keep me from error as I instruct your word, that you would direct me in this instruction and help me to rightly divide your word of truth and explain it clearly. That, Lord, I would not hinder it, but that, Lord, I would be merely a vessel that you can use to bring forth your truth, that your Holy Spirit might take it, make personal application into the lives of those before me, that they can better live and serve you in all that they do to bring you glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray, Lord. Amen. Let's look here at verse 1. He comes out with this first statement. He said, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. The key to understanding this passage of Scripture is several keys, but one of the things he's relating it to, look at the second half of that Scripture. He says, so does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. Who is one that is respected for wisdom and honor? I would take it that one who is respected for wisdom and honor is the person that has a relationship with the Lord, okay? It's a person that is building a life of respect and building a life of honor is the idea there. A person living independent of God is not going to do that. And so Solomon is using an illustration. He says all it takes is one fly in the perfumer's ointment to give off a foul odor. In other words, a fly gets in perfume, which is designed to smell well, and if you don't get the fly out of there, what's going to happen? He's going to contaminate the whole bottle of perfume and make it smell bad. It's the same application as you'd use a common statement today. One bad apple can spoil the whole bunch, is the idea. It doesn't take a whole lot to mess things up. And the principle in this passage would be this. Fools are known for messing things up, is the idea. Now, a lot of people like to think of sin, that a person sins in isolation. But I think one of the principles of Scripture that we'll see, not just in this passage, but many other passages, is that we don't sin in isolation. People live with this idea that I can sin and it doesn't affect anyone around me. What I do is my business and it doesn't affect you. But the reality is this, that when people sin, it affects a whole family. You understand? One person in a family commits sin, it affects the lives of other people in that family. It affects the lives of people in that community. It can affect the lives of people in a church body. So this whole notion that a person can sin in isolation from other people is foreign to Scripture. Because when we sin, our sin does affect the lives of other people. It does have an effect on them. For example, you could take a church. Someone comes and visits a church, and they walk into the church, and they run into somebody that treats them in an unkind way, or treats them in a discourteous way, or is rude to them or something. And they leave that church. You know what their common response is? I don't want to go back to that church. Those people are rude. And it was just one person that did it. You see that? All it takes is one fly in the perfume to make it stink. And fools stink things up, folks. That's what they do. Fools bring discredit upon things. And young people, hear me on this. A person that associates with fools will get contaminated by fools. That's very important to understand. The old saying that one bad apple can mess up a bunch is a true statement. 1 Corinthians 15:33. What does that passage of Scripture tell us? It says, bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. All it takes is one person to bring discredit upon a situation. We're either building up the kingdom of God or we're tearing it down. Christ put it like this in Matthew 12:30. If you want to flip there in your Bible. Matthew 12:30, at the end of a story there that he's speaking of, he makes this comment. He says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. And so it's very important for us to understand the damage that a fool can bring. You can spend a lifetime to build a reputation, you understand? And all it takes is one foolish act to tear that down. So it's very important to understand that foolishness, though it may seem simple and very uncomplicated, foolishness can bring great discredit upon an individual. And foolishness that's not dealt with will bring great discredit upon a whole. And it's important to understand that. And that's exactly what Solomon is speaking of here. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. Here's your application. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. All it takes is just a little bit of foolishness to tear down a lot of good. So what's the second principle that he deals with? Well, the second principle is in verses 2 and 3. He says, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Now, a lot of people see this passage and think it's a political statement. But trust me, it's not. That's not what the Lord's trying to convey here, that left-wingers are fools and right-wingers are wise. We know that's not the case. in every circumstance. Almost all, but not all. Not all. Okay. What's he trying to convey here? Well, what does he mean by right hand and left hand in Scripture? What does this mean? Well, the right hand is referred to as the hand of strength. Okay? That's the idea. The right hand in Scripture is also referred to as the place of honor. Back in that day, in that culture, when a person sat at the right hand of the king, that was the seat of honor. For example, the Scripture tells us that Christ is exalted as Lord of all creation, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. What that means is Christ is seated in the place of honor next to God Almighty. Okay? When we speak of our right hand, we speak of our hand of strength. I had a buddy back when I was in college who was real good in table tennis. And he would always make the comment, he said, "I can beat you left-handed." And what he meant by that, and he couldn't, but what he, I had to get that part in there. But what he means by that is with my weak hand, I can overcome your strong hand. That's what the left hand refers to, to a great extent in our society, okay? And so what he means by this statement here is this, look at it. A wise man's heart is at his right hand and a fool's at his left. The idea is this, that a wise person is in the place of honor and a foolish person is in the place of dishonor. Or you could put it like this. A wise person is in the place of strength and a foolish person is in a place of weakness, is the idea. One is honored, one is dishonored. The wise man is honored, the foolish man is dishonored. You understand that? That's what he's trying to convey here. Verse 3, he says, even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom. And he shows everyone that he is a fool. Now, what is that passage? What do you mean by that? Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom. Does that mean that we can look out there and you can tell by the way someone's walking that they're a fool? No, that's not what he means. To walk along the way is very akin to what the Scripture speaks of a person's Christian walk. You understand? To walk along the way means you can tell by the way a person lives his life whether he's a wise person or whether he's a fool. Okay? It's not by his gait. It's not by how he carries himself. It's about the decisions that he makes in life. See, life is a journey. And every day is one step in our walk of life. And the decisions that we make will reveal whether we're a wise person or whether we're a foolish person. And Solomon says, when you look out there, you can tell the wise man by the way he lives. He says you can tell the foolish man by the way he lives because he shows everyone he is a fool. Now, what does that tell us? Well, point two is this. Fools are confused and they lack direction. In other words, they make unsound decisions. And so we as believers have to be able to discern between a wise person and a foolish person. That's very important. Young people, hear me. You need to learn at a young age the difference between a wise person and a foolish person. Because you get around foolish people, you associate with foolish people. In other words, people that don't honor God. And what's going to happen? One dead fly can putrefy the perfume. In other words, wrong associations can bring great dishonor upon your life. And how do you discern a wise man or a fool? Watch how they live. Watch the decisions they make. Well, that leads us to another thing. And you know what that is? That means that as believers, we've got to be able to discern between what is wise and what is foolish. And the problem with that is, we live in a culture and in a society today that looks down upon that. You understand? When I grew up as a little kid in church, the first Bible verse I learned as a little kid was John 3:16. And most people, when I grew up, knew John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life, right? We understand that verse. The most popular verse in our culture today is Matthew 7:1. Judge not, lest you be judged. Because you watch most TV programs, you watch most debates, or you listen to radio and such like that, most of the world knows that verse. And the second verse they know is, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. They know those two verses. And what they mean by that is that we should not make a discerning decision or choice for what is right or wrong. They'll say, who are you to judge? Okay? So in order for us to be able to discern a fool, we have to make... I mean, how else can you discern this individual that's walking along the way that lacks wisdom if you don't make some kind of decision or determination about his lifestyle? So what I wanted to do was deal with that passage quickly and take a look at it. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7 in your Bible. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. And when you get to Matthew chapter 7, put your finger in there. Or if you're East Texas, put your finger in there. In Matthew chapter 7. And with your other finger, turn over to John 7. Okay? And hold that place. We're going to flip back and forth. Matthew 7 and John 7. Now let's look at Matthew 7. Okay? Matthew 7, John 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. Now, when we see that word judge, you've got to understand what that means. The word literally means, katakrima is the word, the Greek word, and it literally means to condemn is what it means. Condemn not that you be not condemned, for with what condemnation you condemn, you're going to be condemned. The idea is this. Don't be a hypercritical, judgmental person that looks down on other people. Okay? That you have your own standard and you're rude and you look down upon and you're harsh upon people. Why? Because people are going to do the same thing back to you. You understand? That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about judgment in the idea of discerning what is right or wrong. You know why I know that? Look down, if you will, at the sixth verse in that little passage of Scripture. Look at verse 6. He says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Now, quite clearly, you've got to have some discernment to know the difference between what is holy and what is unholy, because he says, don't cast your pearls or give what is holy to the dogs or to the swine. Now, how would you know someone is a dog or a swine unless you're making some kind of a judgment? You follow me there? So he's not talking about not making a discernment or a judgment. He's talking about how you approach it. Don't be a condemning, overbearing type of a person, okay? And you go on down past that scripture, verse 7, he says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. What is that talking about? It's talking about how to discern what is holy from what is unholy, okay? He said, don't give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. The question is, how do I tell what is what? He says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. In other words, you ask God for discernment, right? You ask God for guidance is what you do. And you'll be able to discern the truth. And that falls right in line with John chapter 7. Look over at John chapter 7 and look at the 24th verse. Look at John 7:24. John 7:24 says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So we have here a command where we are to judge. But how are we to judge? We're not to judge based upon just an appearance. We're to judge with righteous judgment. Now ask yourself the question, what is righteous judgment? Righteous judgment is judgment which is in line with that which is righteous. What is it that is righteous? God's standard is the idea. So you judge with righteous judgment, you judge in accordance to the Word of God, you judge in accordance to the standard that God has provided us. You don't set up your own standard and say, well, that's right or that's wrong. You don't set up your own standard of what is acceptable, what is unacceptable. You have a standard which is the Word of God, and God expects you and God expects me to make a decision based upon His standard. Judge according to righteous judgment. Make a discernment. Make a decision based upon that. Flip over, if you will, for a minute at Ephesians chapter 5. Look with me, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 5. And Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 11, if you would. Ephesians 5:11. Ephesians 5:11 says this, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Now notice, you're going to have to make a discernment of what are the unfruitful works of darkness and then expose them. In other words, don't have an association with that which is against God. Or let's put it like this, have no fellowship with that which is foolish, okay, or lacks agreement with God. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. If you're in Ephesians, just go back to the left. Go to 2 Corinthians. Couple books over, and when you get to 2 Corinthians, go to chapter 6, and look at verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." 2 Corinthians 6, 14. "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has wisdom with foolishness?" You see that? Very similar thing. "And what communion has light with darkness? What communion has wisdom with foolishness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Oh, what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." What's he saying here? Don't fellowship with foolish things. Don't fellowship with that which is contrary to God. Don't have anything to do with it. They have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Don't come along with those things that are associated with unbelievers. Don't make that the part of your life. Practice righteous judgment. Go back to Ecclesiastes 10. And let's look at verse 3 again. "Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he is a fool." How are you going to know he's a fool? You're going to know he's a fool because as a believer, you're going to practice righteous judgment. You're going to use the standard of the Word of God to discern what is right and what is wrong. And don't be deceived. You get around foolish people and the consequences can be devastating in a person's life. Devastating in a person's life. We just recently, matter of fact, it was just last month, we had a little conference within the prison system, and this conference is called the PAC Conference, and it's a conference where the families of offenders can come in, and they can speak to all the people in the prison system, and we explain the different programs and stuff like that we have. Well, my division had a thing set up. We were showing them all the factories and everything where we put these offenders to work and what kind of rehabilitative programs we have as far as work and stuff like that. And there were several families that came in there, and a lot of them were parents that you could tell they were good, decent people. I mean, they wasn't coming in there, you know, like a bunch of thugs or something like that. They were good, decent, upstanding people. And it was really puzzling to sit there and hear them, because I could tell they were dignified people. They were decent people. And I talked to several of these families. And I'll never forget this one couple that I talked to. I could tell the woman was very dignified woman. I got talking to a man, found out he was a dentist. And I got talking to him and stuff. And they were in their about mid-40s and late 40s. They're actually in their late 40s. And I got to talking to them and stuff, and they were concerned about their son. They said, our son's doing time, and he's at this unit, and said, you have this factory there, and said, what we're wanting him to do is to take a class in the morning and then to go and work in one of those shops in the afternoon. Can that be arranged? I said, you bet it can. We can get that done. I said, what's your purpose on that? He said, well, we want him to be well-equipped so that when he gets out of there, he can find a job and he can do something that's right. And I said, well, that's typical parents wanting to take care of their kids and stuff. And I said, what's the story on your son? Well, he got in with the wrong crowd. They said, you know, we brought him up in a good home and stuff, and he got in with the wrong crowd. And he ended up, he was riding around with some guys, and they robbed a place. And he said, when they robbed that place, he was sitting in the car. And they went in there to steal a case of beer, and in the process of stealing a beer, one of them pulled a gun out and shot the owner, and he died. And he said he got 50 years for being in the car. But he's really a good kid. He was just hanging with the wrong people. See, he was hanging with fools. You hear me? He was running with fools. And I asked him, I said, did you ever caution him about those? Well, we didn't want him to think that we were judging him and stuff. That's exactly what they said. I thought, man, I bet they wish now that he would have thought they were judging him. All it takes, folks, hear me, young people, you get around the wrong person, all it takes is one incident for you to be categorized as a fool. One dead fly can make the whole perfume stink. That's a truth of life. And you better at an early age learn to discern wise people from foolish people, because your life is going to be characterized to a great degree by the people you associate with. And you better become discerning about that. You better be able to determine what is right and what is wrong. That's what Solomon says. He says, even when a fool, verse 3, walks along the way, he lacks wisdom. And he shows everyone that he is a fool. Don't run with people like that. Look in the book of Proverbs what it says about fools. Look at Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. We're just going to look at two verses that associate or speaks of fools. Proverbs 18 and verse 2. 18:2. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. You ever tried to address a fool? You know what a fool will do? They'll try to talk you down. I had the delight of instructing a fool just this past week. Comes to me asking for advice on something. I try to give him advice, and you know what he does? He overrides me with what he thinks is right. And what he thinks is right is the very reason he came to me for counsel. And I'm sitting there going, are you that foolish that you come to me wanting an answer to this problem? I tell you what the answer is, and you're expressing to me the problem. It doesn't make sense. Look at verse 6. A fool's lip enters into contentions, and his mouth calls for blows. Modern interpretation. A fool will get you sideways, and you'll want to smack him in the mouth. You follow that? You got that translation? That's what it means right there. A fool will get you to the point that you just want to punch them in the mouth. Why? Because they lack discernment. Foolishness. Look over at Ecclesiastes. Look at verse 4. He says there's another characteristic of a fool. Not only do fools stink things up, not only do fools lack direction in life, fools also are easily angered. Look at verse 4. If the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post. For conciliation pacifies great offenses. Now, if you have a more modern translation, you'll understand where it says, for conciliation pacifies great offense. It means calmness will help you overcome the offense. What is that passage saying? It's saying if your boss jumps down your throat, don't respond in anger. Don't just get up and leave and storm out of there. Respond to it in calmness is what it's saying. You know, one of the things that a fool will do, what did 18:6 say in Proverbs? A fool will make you want to smack him in the mouth. But a common way that a fool responds to something is they respond to it in anger. That's one of the characteristics of a foolish person. Look at Proverbs 15:1. Instead of responding in rashness, what do? Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. One of the ways to defuse a situation with a person like that is do not return harsh words. Back off from it and use soft words, because fools are easily angered. What's the last point? The last point is verses 5 through 7. Go back, we're in Ecclesiastes 10. 5 through 7. Let's look at the last thing. He says, there's an evil I've seen under the sun, as an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, while the rich sit in a lowly place. I've seen servants on horses, while princes walk on the ground like servants. Now, what in the world is Solomon talking about here? Well, let's break down the passage. Look at it in verse 5. He says, there's an evil I've seen under the sun, as an error proceeding from the ruler. This is it. He says, under the sun, when I look at life from strictly a horizontal perspective, when I look at life that's going on around me, when I observe the world strictly from a human viewpoint, this is what I see. He says, I see folly is set in great dignity. In other words, foolish people are honored, while the rich, and rich as it's used here in Solomon, is synonymous with what? Wisdom. He says, while the rich sit in a lowly place. In other words, he says, we have foolish people that are honored, and we've got wise people that are overlooked. Look at the next thing. He says, I've seen servants on horses while princes walk on the ground like servants. How is that backwards? He says, well, it's backwards for this reason. A slave should be on the ground, or a servant should be on the ground, and the prince should be riding on the horse. But what happened? He said, it's just backwards. He said, I'm looking out there and I see servants riding horses, and I see princes walking on the ground. In other words, he's saying, when I look at the world, things are all messed up. When I look at the world, people that are wise and should be respected are the people that are overlooked. And the people that are fools are the ones that everyone's wanting to be like. See, it's no different in his day than it is in ours. I remember growing up, my dad, as a young boy, 40 years ago, you know what he'd tell me? He had introduced me to World War II vets. And he always made it a point. He said, that man fought for your freedom. He is a hero. You need to respect him. You need to honor him. That man fought in the Korean War. He served this country. And then I watched the men come back from Vietnam. My dad said the same thing about them. And we honored real heroes. We honored people that were engineers. We honored people that were doctors. We honored people that were pastors and great leaders. People say, be like them. That's what you want to be like, and that's what young people look to. Who are the people that are honored in our day? Well, it's the Paris Hiltons and the Michael Jacksons and the Kim Kardashians. That's who's paraded across the screen. The fools are the people that are up here. The slaves are riding the horses. And the princes are walking on the ground. And when you look out there and you're trying to teach your family what is right, what is proper, the world's flipped it upside down and says, this is what's right. This is what you want to be like. You want to be like the fool. And what Solomon's saying, he's saying when you look at it from a purely worldly perspective, that's how it is. I mean, folks, how messed up is this world that we live in? We're trillions of dollars in debt. You know how our government says you solve that? You spend trillions more. That is a fool that is in a place of what? Dignity. Hard-working people go out and you work and you earn money and you buy your health care and you pay for other people's health care. And then we have people that live irresponsible lives that have baby after baby after baby. They don't have to pay any health care. There's no consequences, and everything they do is paid for. You work hard, you expand your business, what happens? You've got to pay more in taxes, you've got to give more to the government. What happens? Some guy's a lazy bum that doesn't do anything, and what happens? The government gives him more and more and more for nothing. I'm telling you, folks, the slaves are riding the horses, and the princes are walking on the ground. And if you look at the world from strictly a physical viewpoint, it's going to drive you nuts. And you're going to say, what is the point in living for God? What is the point in living a life of wisdom? What is the point of doing this when the fools are running the show? Or as they say, the nuts are in charge of the insane asylum. What's the point in it? Point in it is this. You don't look at it from the human viewpoint. You don't look at it from under the sun. You look at it above the sun, and you realize that there is a sovereign God that is actually in control. And you don't live by your eyesight. You live by faith. You don't walk by what you see. You walk by what the Word of God says. You live your life by what is right and what is proper and what is true and what is good. Why? Because there is a God, and He is alive. And He is going to come one day, and we will stand before Him. You understand that? Don't be discouraged. We are here for a specific purpose, and that purpose is to not get in line with the fools. The purpose is to be light and salt in the midst of a dying world. To be light and salt in the midst of a dying generation. To be the one that sheds light and brings light to the world around us. Don't cast your lot with a fool. Fulfill what God has called you to be. Live your life and look above the sun and realize that the God is in charge. And yes, the slaves are riding the horses and the princes are walking on the ground. But there's a God that's in charge. And I'm not living for what I can see. I'm living for what I believe. And what I believe is exactly what He says. For He is true and He is right. And I'm going to live for Him. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to change the world around me one person at a time. Because I'm going to live according to the Word. Don't cast your lot with the fools. Fools stink things up. Fools lack direction in life. Fools are easily angered, and if you look at the world, you'll think the fools are running it. But behind the scene, there is a God that is in charge. That's who we're to live for. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You, Lord, that You have called us to live for You. In the midst of a world that's quite often upside down, that's quite often does not make sense, and it's easy to get discouraged. Help us to be people that live for righteousness, that live for truth, that proceed forward, living your word and doing what is right. Father, I pray for those that are parents in here that have young people, that they would make the correct and proper decisions and realize that though it may not be popular, the decisions they make are in line with your word, and that's what will be honored. And Lord, help all of us to not be discouraged by what we see, but realize that we walk by faith, not by sight. And help us to be people of the word that live your word day by day. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.